It is pick six time. I'm fired up for one reason. Willie's fired up for a totally different reason. Watching video of his son hitting the game winner last night in a hoops game.
It was a big one.
Because he's not going to like the review, but he does like Mahoney's shot.
I am going to focus on the positives. The USN Tigers had a big moment last night. The postseason tournament, finals, down two, final play. Mahoney hit. He did something I never have done.
What?
I never
hit a game winner?
I never hit a three.
Oh, man.
He didn't hit it as the buzzer sounded. There was 1 second left when he hit it.
Even I did that.
But it's a great, the one shining moment, where the bench explodes and the crowd goes crazy. It was great. I never did that at the end of the game.
All the games you played? Really?
I don't remember.
At any level?
At any level. I don't think, a true play like that, game-winning shot as the clock is expiring. I hit a lot of buzzer beaters at halftime.
Took the inbounds, took a coast-to-coast at the buzzer.
At the buzzer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it could have happened in like a second-grade game. But I feel like I would remember it if
you,
I did.
No, you would remember.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. So, he had that moment last. I was so excited for him. Of course, I'm sitting up at the press box, and I'm getting only texts of what's happening. My dad is texting, ball goes out of bounds, 1:43 to go, down by two, game tied, steal, the other team's up by two. It was fun. Middle school basketball at its best. So I'm riding high, which will offset my performance in pick six last week.
So that's why
for the first time in about a month, I did not close the gap on you.
That makes sense. I get it now when you said, and USN scores. The Predators scored. That's what happened. Okay, now that makes sense. Josh, we turn the review over to you.
All right. Well, at least one Donick is a success.
Right.
Willie, it was a rough week. You have been steadily climbing back into it. This week will knock you back down a peg. You only got 2 points. You correctly predicted that McLeod or Boyle would get into a fight last weekend, and that neither one of them would score a goal. And that's where your success stopped. Darren, you widened your lead with a 5-point week, hitting your top shelf, UT, over-under free throw percentage. I believe it was 79.5. You also correctly predicted that McLeod or Boyle would get into a fight, that the Preds would only tally 0 to 2 points last weekend. Kentucky, -3.5. And that's it. You missed on Duke. And you missed on would McLeod or Poyle score a goal last weekend. Yep. I also got 5 points, and I believe hit my
Wait a minute. Also, how many points did you have me with?
5.
That would be 6.
Okay.
6.
Then that bumps you up to 91.
Mm-hmm. Because remember, 0 to 2 points was worth 2 points. Remember? 3 to 4 points was worth 3 points, if it was correct.
Well, that stings us a little bit there, Willie.
Willie took the bait.
So did I. So I guess I didn't also tally 5 points. I just tallied 5 points, correctly predicting. Let's see, I missed. Willie and I were optimistic about the Preds last weekend. We thought they would get 3 or 4 points. They lost them both. And I had Duke under 69.5. We all did. They went out and scored 81 on Virginia.
Yeah, I knew
Bumps
that.
Bumps me up to
I knew
74.
That had no chance.
I flipped on that game. We just got back from St. Louis. The unfortunate loss for the Predators against the Blues. Get home, flip on the game. There's like 8 minutes to go, and Duke already has
61.
Like 67 points.
I was like, no, it was like 8 minutes, 8.5 to go. They have 61 points. I was like, this one's done.
Not liking my chance.
No chance. Unless Virginia just completely stifles them the rest of the way. That didn't happen. All right, so what's my total? Josh?
Your total is 91.
91 followed by?
84.
Ooh, and what do you have in the caboose?
74.
74. Hey, Josh. Over here. Keep plugging away.
I will hit a top shelf last week. That feels good.
It's a good feeling.
It really does shelf. Feel good.
Still want to be a full-time gambler?
No. But now that I'm heating up, I'm thinking about throwing a little money around.
All right. Well, let's get after it this week.
Throw some change down on an AAF game this weekend.
There you go. The Apollos. Hit it.
Number one.
Here's last week. Okay, number one, the big one. We've talked to Dan Shulman. We talked to David Ubben. We've talked all week about this. Tennessee and Kentucky in Lexington, Rupp Arena tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip. Kentucky's 20-4, 9-2 in conference play. Tennessee 23-1. They've won 18 in a row, and they are undefeated, 11-0 in SEC play. From the callers, we want the game total, and our line is Kentucky minus 3.5. Kentucky minus 3.5, Willie.
3.5. Taking the balls. I like their experience. I think they're gearing up for this game. I'll take the balls and the points.
I'll take what's been getting me a point every week, Kentucky, minus the 3.5.
I'll take Kentucky, too.
Number two.
Remember, the listeners will have to give us a game total. Number two. Who finishes with more points, Grant Williams or P.J. Washington? Those are the two leading scorers for both teams. Now, you could say, well, Grant Williams has been averaging more points than P.J. Washington this year. That's true. But P.J. Washington has 20 or more points in 6 of his last 7 games. P.J. Washington has been coming on. So, with that being said, who finishes with more points? Both teams' leading scorers. Who do you got?
What, I'll tell you what, I have been so impressed with Kentucky's interior defense. This is a tough call.
I know. That's why I put it on there.
Man.
It's not supposed to be easy.
After the 2-point week last week, I'm second guessing myself. I'm going to go Grant Williams. But I'm grudgingly doing it because I think they could shut him down. I think Kentucky has the type of defense. Tennessee better be hitting some outside shots in this game.
So you're going with Grant?
I'll take Grant.
I'll take PJ. Josh, what do you got?
PJ.
Number three.
Pick a Predators player not named Victor Arvidsson, and you get their points versus Vegas tomorrow night. 9 o'clock, puck drop, pregame at 8. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. You cannot top shelf this. There's no top shelf on this question. Pick a Predators player not named Victor Arvidsson, and you get their points tomorrow night. Josh. We asked this to Thomas and Brooks. One went Colton Sissons. The other went Nick Bonino.
So it doesn't have to be a goal. It's just points.
Points. No. That's it. You get their points. They get 3 assists. That's 3 points.
I'll steal Thomas's answer and go with Colton Sissons.
I'll go Ryan Johansson.
He's on fire. He has been dishing out tremendous assists. If you look at the last few goals that Victor Arvidsson has scored, they're all from the blue paint.
Yeah. What's he got, 42 assists now?
Yeah.
Johansson? All right, I got Joey. What do you got?
I'll go along the same lines. I'll go with Roman Josi. He's another guy that's just generating a lot.
And he's generating a lot. A ton.
Yeah.
Number four.
The NBA All-Star Weekend is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's start Saturday night. The NBA three-point contest, the two favorites in Vegas are Steph Curry and Buddy Hield. We all remember Buddy in college, right? Those are the two favorites. That will be Category A. Category B will be the field, which means you get 8 players. Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker, Dirk Nowitzki, Joe Harris, Chris Middleton, Danny Green, Seth Curry. So the field or the two favorites, Steph Curry, Buddy Hield. Josh.
I'll take the field.
So you're going to go with the percentages.
Darren.
I know you're going field. I'll go A. He said just to be different because I knew you were going to take the field. Give me Steph Curry and Buddy Hield.
Number five.
All right. Sunday is the NBA All-Star Game. The two favorites in Vegas to win the MVP are LeBron James and the Greek Freak, Giannis, in Milwaukee. Those are the two captains as well. So the two captains are the two favorites to be the MVP of the game. A, the two favorites, or B, the field to be the All-Star Game MVP?
The field.
The field. Can I top shelf that?
Yeah, I'm going to go the field.
I'm top shelfing the field on this one.
You're top shelfing the field. Okay.
Now, Giannis is, the guy's unbelievable, but this is an All-Star game. Come on. Anything can happen in this.
Yeah.
Totally random.
Okay.
Number six.
Number six, Daytona 500, Sunday, 1:30 is when they're going to wave the flag, Sunday afternoon. A is cars 1 through 11. Now, I'll just quickly throw out some notables. Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Austin Dillon, Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin. Those are some notable names. Car numbers 1 through 11. That's A. B, car numbers 12 through 22. You've got Ryan Blaney, Clint Bowyer, Ricky Stenhouse, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano. Those are some notable names. Cars numbers 12 through 22, and then C is car numbers 23 plus. Obviously, a notable name would be Jimmy Johnson, and you get a whole mess of the rest, right? There's going to be a lot more cars in the field, but lesser names, but you got Jimmy Johnson in there, Jamie McMurray, some other names that you've heard of. What do you got?
A, obviously.
A, obviously. Okay.
I cannot remember what I did last year. What's the total amount of cars that you get? Do you have that broken down?
Well, you get 11.
But is there
both,
is there a number?
And then you get the rest. So, yeah, there's going to be four. You're probably going to give it 20 cars in the field.
So, but there is a car, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All of the numbers are represented?
There's a double zero. You get double zero.
So you get
zero.
An extra. Okay.
You get double zero, which is Landon Castle.
So you get double zero through 11, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I should have been more specific.
But the total amount of cars is 12 cars for all of them?
No, the field is going to be more. But you have some lesser names in there.
But Jimmy Johnson's in
some
there.
Some starting parks.
Some guys are just sort of taking up space.
Yeah, but Jimmy Johnson's in there, obviously.
There's some other good high numbers in there, right? Some contenders?
Just make your pick.
C.
Fine. Take your
field. I probably
field.
Did this.
Big mistake.
Big mistake.
Why?
Have you seen some of the names in C?
Yeah, but I JJ, man. He's in there.
I'll go.
There's some other good guys in there.
You went A, you went C, I'll go B. Give me B. 12 through 22.
I'll take PJ Washington top shelf.
Hmm. Wow. I will take MVP the field. I'll do what Willie did. Sorry. Got to do it. All right. You're up next. Loaded line, 737-1025. This week's winner, Fleetwood Mac tickets as well, just like we had for You Just Made the List. We'll take your calls. Get locked into Pick 6 next. The only way you're going to win tickets to see Fleetwood Mac at Bridgestone Arena on February 27th, that's in 12 days, is to get locked into Pick 6. 737-1025. When a line becomes available, jump in there. Let's start with Jason.
Jason, are you with us?
I'm here, guys.
All right. Tennessee at Kentucky. Prime time tomorrow night. Kentucky favored by 3.5 at Rupp.
Give me Kentucky and make that 145 points.
Kentucky, 145 for your game total. All right. Who will have more points in the game, Grant Williams of Tennessee or P.J. Washington of Kentucky?
Give me Grant Williams.
Grant Williams it is. Tomorrow night, a little later in the evening, Predators and the Vegas Golden Knights, two heavyweights in the West. the two previous Western Conference champions. Pick a Predator player not named the red-hot Victor Arvidsson, and you get their points against Vegas. So if they go on a binge and get 3 points, you get points. You can't go top shelf, though. So who you got?
Ryan Johansson.
You're going to go with Darren. Ryan Johansson, who has been racking up points recently as well, mostly feeding Victor Arvidsson and others, right? But especially Victor Arvidsson. All right, the NBA three-point contest in Charlotte. Choice A, Steph Curry, or the former Oklahoma Sooner, Buddy Hield. Or B, everybody else, the other eight shooters, including Seth Curry.
Give me B, the field.
B, the field. All right, the MVP of the All-Star game, choice A, LeBron or Giannis, Greek freak, or everybody else?
Give me B, the field, and make that my top shelf.
See, I think playing the percentages, Darren, I want to see how many people take this. I saw Tom Chambers be the MVP of the NBA All-Star game 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on how the game
unfolds. You're getting the best two players right now, I mean, arguably.
Yeah. All right, the Daytona 500, Sunday afternoon, cars 00 through 11, cars 12 through 22, or 23 and up. 23 and up.
Give me B, cars 12 through 22.
All right, we have everything?
Okay, he's got everything.
Jason, good luck. Have a good weekend.
Y'all too, thanks.
Now, let me ask you this, Darren. Mm-hmm. We were in Talladega, and, you know, Bobby Hamilton won,
yep.
Right? I mean, this is a big track. You could, if you just hang around,
it is.
We know how it could go. It could be a big, you could have the big one.
Crazy winners come at the super tracks.
So
Daytona and Talladega.
I feel good about my 23 and up.
In other words, if you just stay out of trouble, anybody can win, right? You don't get caught up in the big one. Let's go to Carl. Carl, you're up next. Welcome in.
Thank you.
All right, Carl. Tennessee at Kentucky at Rupp.
I'm going to take Kentucky minus the 3.5.
Kentucky minus 3.5, and we need your game total.
144.
Well, he's right in the neighborhood of what a lot of people have. All right, who will end up with more points, Grant Williams of the Vols or P.J. Washington from the Cats?
P.J. Washington.
All right, pick a Predators player not named Victor Arvidsson. And you would get any points that they would tally tomorrow night against Las Vegas.
Philip Forsberg.
Phil Bureri. Okay. NBA three-point contest in Charlotte. You want Steph Curry and Buddy Hield, or do you want the rest of the crew?
I'm going to take the favorites.
Taking the favorites, Steph and Buddy. MVP of the NBA All-Star game. LeBron and Giannis or the field?
Give me the field. Joel Embiid.
Okay. Daytona 500 winner, Sunday 1:30. Cars 0 through 11, 12 to 22, or 23 plus?
0 through 11.
Do we get top shelf?
We need a top shelf.
Give me the field in the NBA All-Star game.
In the All-Star game.
Okay. In the All-Star game. MVP. Yeah,
for the MVP.
All right, Carl, thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too, thanks.
737-1025. Let's go. Doug, you're up next.
Hey, guys.
Doug, do you have the Vols plus 3.5 or Kentucky minus 3.5 at Rupp?
Kentucky
minus the 3.5. Who finishes with more points, Grant Williams or P.J. Washington?
P.J. Washington.
Predator player? Can't say Victor Arvidsson, who will have, and you'll get their points tomorrow night. You need somebody that's going to get on the score sheet.
Philip Forsberg.
He's probably your best choice to have the big binge to come up with a 3 or 4 point game.
He is due.
Vegas is tough, though. All right, NBA 3-point contest in Charlotte. Steph Curry, Buddy Hield, or the other eight shooters?
Steph and Buddy.
All right, MVP of the All-Star game, LeBron and Giannis, or the field?
The field.
Nobody going for LeBron and Giannis, the Greek freak. He could take over. Daytona 500 winner, A, B, or C?
Well, A, 1 through 11.
Okay, 00 through 11.
That is my top shelf.
Ooh.
Top shelf, 00 through 11? Okay. And we got game total?
139.
All right. Doug, have a good weekend. Thanks.
Okay, guys.
737-1025. Jerry, you're up next.
No, no. Tennessee plus 3, game total 160.
All right. Grant Williams or P.J. Washington? Who will have more points?
Grant Williams.
Give us a Predator. You can't say Arvidsson. You get their points tomorrow night. Goals or assists?
Forsberg.
Forsberg is becoming a popular play. Pick. Okay. NBA three-point contest. Steph and Buddy or the other eight?
Steph and Buddy.
Steph and Buddy. All right. MVP of the All-Star game, LeBron and Giannis or the field?
Giannis.
He takes LeBron and Giannis. All right, first guy to not go with the field, and he goes top shelf.
Hold on. Josh, put them on hold. Don't worry about he's back there solo. Put him on hold because he's got to record this stuff.
Okay. And finally, Daytona 500 winner. Cars 0 through 11, 12 through 22, or 23 plus?
12 through 22.
Josh, did you get all of Jerry's stuff?
No, just need the field or the phase for the MVP.
He's going with LeBron and Giannis.
Yeah.
He's going with Daytona's 12 through 22, so choice B.
Did I hear a top shelf?
He's going Steph and Buddy in the three-point contest. And your top shelf is?
Was Giannis and LeBron.
Oh, that's right. Giannis and LeBron. Okay. He wants top shelf. So he's going against the grain.
Woo, for top
shelf.
And
that could be big. That could be a big swing in his favor if it happens.
All right, Jerry, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Me too.
And one more, and the rest of you can go to thegamenashville.com and get locked into our contest. Cody, you'll be the final caller. Welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Tennessee or Kentucky?
Tennessee. 165.
Tennessee plus 3.5 and 165 total. So you're going high scoring game. That could even be overtime there.
Yep.
Wow. Grant Williams or P.J. Washington, who will be the high point man among those two?
Washington.
P.J. Washington. Pick a Predator player who is going to be on the score sheet tomorrow. You get all the points, goals or an assist, and you can't say Victor Arvidsson. All right, you're going Joey. Next up, NBA three-point contest.
Buddy Hield and Curry.
Buddy Hield, Steph Curry. A lot of people going with those two. Not as much for the field on that one. Okay, how about the MVP of the All-Star game?
Field.
The field. All right, and Daytona 500 winner.
0 through 11.
And
didn't get a – did you say top shelf?
Ball.
Vols, okay. All right, Cody, have a great weekend. Thanks.
You too.
All right, we got everybody locked in via the phones. Everybody else can go to thegamenashville.com. Pick six is up. You've got some time to get locked in. I guess what's the first thing? Probably the Tennessee-Kentucky game, right? So you've got a little time to get be a part of our contest. Fleetwood Mac tickets on the line to this week's winner. We'll come back with more of Darren and Donnie next. Had a listener, Keith, send us this tweet, Willie, during the break. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. So in Hartford, Kentucky, I'm not familiar with Hartford, Kentucky. This couple, Nina, the wife, told her husband, Alan, she wanted something different this year for Valentine's Day, something that'll last a long time. She said, you know what? I want some flowers. Well, Alan, being the smart married man, knew his wife loved tulips. Plus, they're annuals. They come back every year.
Yeah.
He said
she
wanted something that'll last a long time. To Nina's surprise, she came home with beautiful Valentine's gift and balloons and some candy and some turnips.
turnips.
Yeah. Allen got turnips instead of tulips.
It's a little different. Turnips, I don't think, last forever either. Last a long time.
No.
They have a shelf life.
So the headline reads, Kentucky man mistakenly gets wife turnips instead of tulips.
Turnips.
Now they're doing television interviews, and I really wish they would have said no, because now people can make fun of them. But they did them. Thought we would pass that along. Funny. Poor Allen. Turnips. I guess he did go back and eventually get tulips.
Okay.
Jeremy Pruitt spoke to the media today in Knoxville. Here's a little bit of what Vols head coach had to say today.
Jeremy, why do you think this staff and the way it's set up maybe better positions you for success this season?
Well, you know, having six guys offensively, I think, is important. When you have an offensive coordinator like Jim, who really could coach any position, especially in individual drills, you know, if the running backs need to work on something, or wide receivers, tight ends, quarterback, whatever position it is, he can kind of bounce around and look at it, kind of like I can do on defense. You know, I'm really the fifth assistant on the defensive side of the ball. We have somebody in charge of every position, but I can kind of bounce around, and if there's something that needs to be tweaked or fixed, I can kind of oversee it.
Steve, just obviously you didn't know all the people you were going to lose on staff, but when you were trying to build the staff again, what were the big ingredients you were looking for where you figured you had to get better in order to compete more?
Well, I think it starts with player development. I think you got to be good teachers. I think our guys are really good teachers. I think we've done a good job getting guys that are familiar with the positions that they coach. If you look at their background, and I think, 16 national championships that our staff's been a part of, that's a lot. I don't know how many more staffs out there would have more than that. So I think being good teachers, good coaches, and being good recruiters, and I think we've hit it with all the guys.
Jeremy, with this new staff, you approach spring ball a little differently as opposed to last year when you were just getting started. Talk about that and maybe the goals initially as you get cranked up here.
Well, I think as a staff, we've hit the ground running. You know, there's really a lot of carryover, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I know we've added Jim, but, you know, some of the things that he's done, things that we had did here last year, and he has a very unique way in a teaching progression. I think he's very efficient with his time, his words. I think it's simple, and I think our coaches and players are excited in the direction we're going. Defensively, you know, when you talk about Derek Angeley, he's a guy that was a graduate assistant for me for 2 years, and then was the defensive backs coach. And so, you know, we're very familiar with each other. You know, I think it's good to work from the back to the front. So I think he brings a lot of experience, coached a lot of really good players. And probably when I start a sentence, he can finish it.
Jeremy, a couple things. Will you continue to call plays on defense and kind of more on Ansley? Did you you know, when you first worked with him at Alabama, I guess when he was a graduate assistant, did you know kind of his future trajectory could be what it is working in the NFL, working in the SEC, and now being a defensive coordinator?
Right. I think Derek's been in very high demand for the last several years. Obviously, he was the highest paid DB coach in the NFL after only being there for 1 year. But, you know, he's a guy that is ready for this. He's been ready for quite some time. I think with the fact that with Derek and Kevin and Chris and Tracy in one room, I can already see the cohesiveness together. They communicate well together. They've all worked together, you know. So, you know, I guess Tracy's probably the only one that hadn't worked with Derek, but he actually was a coach at Troy State when Derek played. So everybody knows each other. You know, we've had a really productive last week, kind of getting ready for spring ball. So I think we're headed in the right direction there. And you know, Derek will call the defense this fall.
Coach, you spend a lot of your time back there with the secondary. Last year you had Charles Kelly and Terry back there, so kind of three voices. Does it make a difference going from kind of three voices to two? And then the John Lilly role, will you be in a rush to, you know, kind of fill that role, or will you kind of take your time and find the right guy to kind of fill his spot?
Well, I think, you know, Derek's the defensive back coach, but one thing that you need is you do need another guy back there that can help, because when you do individual drills, then the drills for the safeties and the corners are really different. So somebody's got to run the safety drills. Somebody's got to run the corner drills. I mean, last year, you know, most of the time I ran the corner drills anyhow. So we'll continue on that path. And, you know, we have a really good young graduate assistant in Nate Andrews, who played for me at Florida State, and is a guy that I think's got a very bright future also. So that gives us three guys back there.
Jeremy, when you look at how lenient the NCAA has been with immediate eligibility for non-grad transfers, are you optimistic that Solomon and Gibbs will get immediate eligibility?
You know, I'm really not that familiar with what's going on with it, Jimmy. You know, we'll see, and that'll be up to the people that review those situations.
Why hand over defensive play calling duties to Derek, and then how much of a factor was that responsibility in getting him to leave the Raiders and come here?
Well, I think, you know, I think Derek, I think his heart's in college football. He's a tremendous recruiter. You know, he has passion for young people. He's a very good teacher. You know, and he had lots of opportunities, you know, to leave the Raiders this offseason, and he chose to stay. But I think the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator here, to work with the men on our staff, was something that he couldn't turn down.
What about you? Why did you want to hand those duties off?
Well, I just think he's ready, you know. He's somebody that's been in the back end with me, we obviously wasn't together last year, but the two previous years. Has a really good idea of you know, why we want to call something and when we want to call it.
Just how did David Johnson kind of handle his reshuffle? I know he's obviously coached running backs at a previous stop, but the wide receiver unit, you know, took some steps forward a year ago compared to where they had been the previous couple seasons here. How did he kind of, you know, handle that when he kind of brought that to him?
Well, I think anytime you get men that are used to leading organizations, David was a head coach in high school, and when you do that, you have to coach a number of positions. Everybody wants what's best for the team, and you know, and everybody figures out what their role is and does the best at their role. And I think David's a guy that's he's willing to do, you know, whatever he needs to help Tennessee football get back to where it's supposed to be.
There you go. Some of Jeremy Pruitt today. He spoke about an hour ago to the Knoxville media, and the big news coming out that he's added Derek Ainslie as his defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach. You heard it in his comments. He was with him at Alabama in 2016-2017. Last year, Ainslie was with the Oakland Raiders as their defensive backs coach. So now on Jeremy Pruitt's staff in Knoxville. We'll come back and wrap up Friday's edition of Darren and Donick next. All right, let's hit on a couple things before we get out of here. Wanted to give you a little bit of Jeremy Pruitt. Kind of the news was Derek Ainslie. All right, what are you expecting? Let's start with the first game. Like I said, I think this is going to be a really good sports weekend. I can't wait. I'm going to get everything done tomorrow so I can watch as much of Tennessee, Kentucky as I can before leading up to Predators Vegas. But if you're just out there, and you're just looking for something Saturday night, I mean, I think you've got two really good sports items in this market. Tennessee, Kentucky, and then right afterwards, Preds, Golden Knights. That's a good way to wrap up your Saturday. What are you expecting in Lexington? How do you think this is truly going to go down?
I'm curious to see the interior defense of Kentucky against Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield in particular, because we know the uniqueness of those two players. They're powerful. They're crafty. their experience, but they're not big. And, you know, Kentucky doesn't have Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, or the seven-footers in there, but they have good size. Those guys played very tough defense. You know, I watched them live against Vanderbilt, and they were just so good in the paint. And so I want to see how Grant Williams does to get operated. Can they play, for example, good, solid defense, not foul him? The way he knifes in there, you know, how much will they double him? I think it'll be very important for Tennessee to continue to make threes, which they've done much better with recently. The way that Bone has started to shoot some of the other guys, I think they're feeling good about their outside game, but they are definitely an inside-out team. They are not a team that comes at you wanting to chuck up a lot of threes, which is, I think, a good formula to have when you go into Rupp. But Kentucky has been really impressive on defense.
Well, they've done exactly what we've been saying all year, right? When I watch Tennessee and I watch Kentucky, there's a sizable gap right now. But just remember, Kentucky gets better every month. This is how it plays out. And by the time they meet later in the season, it'll probably look a whole lot different, right? Did I not say that every time, that disclaimer? It's like, I watch Tennessee and I watch Kentucky, and man, they're pretty far apart right now. But, and this is exactly how it's played out, and here they sit. And now Kentucky is getting better and better and better. And as Dan Shulman said, he doesn't believe they're as good as the 2015 team. They went undefeated, 38-0, before they finally fell to the Badgers? And the 2012 team. But this team looks pretty darn good. I mean, they're really – it's really starting to come together. I don't know how good they can be, but don't you think they – right now when you see them, how do you see them? I mean, if they continue to even get better, I would say you're going to have to throw them in the upper tier class with the other good teams in the country, right?
I think to a degree. My question for Kentucky is big possession late in a game, big game. Who do you want? Who, if you need to go get a basket, who's their guy?
Yeah.
Like, I know Tennessee's got Schofield, they got Williams. Those guys can go get you a basket. Kentucky, while I love their chemistry has come around. Their offense is good to me. They have a lot of guys confident in making a play. Is PJ Washington the guy? I just don't know if there's a guy that really stands above everybody.
He's had 20 plus points six out of the last seven games. So he's turned into like getting 24, 26 a night. That's if you're looking for an answer for that question, that's your guy if he can continue this pace.
But, and so how does, in your opinion, how does he compare to some guys through the years that they've had?
Well, that's fair.
Like creativity, you know.
Yeah.
Offense, you know, the flow breaks down. You got to just shot clock's running down. You got to go get a basket. I don't know if they have that guy. So when you're splitting hairs comparing them to Virginia and Duke and some of those teams, that's where I think I still have questions.
Speaking of Virginia, Vanderbilt and Virginia in Arizona to kick off
MLB
the season.
MLB Network tonight.
MLB Network tonight. You can watch that game. A rematch of back-to-back national championship
games. Not too
games.
Long ago. Nobody's still there.
Vanderbilt took the first one. Virginia took the second one.
Yeah. A lot of history there.
That'll do it for our show today. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll have tons to discuss on Monday morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.